This week on Not Just A Guy, we return to the car as we talk about getting comfortable in life and the good and the bad that comes with that. So without further ado, let me talk at you. Let me talk at ya. Welcome one and all to Not Just A Guy, the show about, by, and for struggling storytellers. I'm your host, Not Just A Guy, the guy, Garrett Briones, and you heard me say it up top, folks. We are once again behind the wheel. Don't worry, both hands are on the wheel this time. As I say, as I reach over for my beverage, my energy drink, drinking Big Energy. That's on an actual brand. I see no need to say the name. I'm not sponsored yet, so. Yeah, once again, Destiny took the wheel. I, once again, just had no time. Very busy weekend. Not just because it was WrestleMania weekend, but a very, very busy time. A lot of work. Still working two jobs, so time, it's a little hard. It's a valuable commodity, and it's a hard thing to come by. So I figured, well, got another drive to work that, you know, I could use with this. Once again, I know the audio is not going to be as crisp as it usually is. I'm trying to remedy that because, you know, I wouldn't mind this being a staple here and there of, you know, coming to you from the car. I wouldn't mind that being a thing. It's just I have to continue to work on the, you know, clearing up and clarifying the sound quality, maybe finding upgrading my mic setup, you know, finding a way to do it where it is a little higher quality. Figuring that out, you know, still trying to figure out getting back to video. We're figuring out a lot of things here on Not Just A Guy, but I've been enjoying things on, you know, having how the show is split up between the two. Obviously, last week's Not Just A Geek had music by Steven Cruz, a friend of the show. Currently working on, I have commissioned some a theme for Not Just A Guy. Not Just A Guy is our flagship show, so we really want a piece of music from the ground up that really kind of signifies everything that the entire Not Just A Guy brand and idea is about. Not just being the theme for the podcast, but being, you know, the calling card, the everything for Not Just A Guy as an entity. So really looking forward to hearing what Steven has cooked up. He's very talented, and I love his work, so very excited to see what he's able to craft up for our flagship show. So today, I want to talk about something I was thinking about yesterday while I was at work. The idea of comfortability, getting comfort, you know? We all want to be comfy. We all want to wear our pajama pants to work. That's the new trend, you know, go work out in your pajama pants, go to work in your pajama pants, go to school in your pajama. Everybody's wanting to hang out in their jammies for good reason. And, you know, we always think about comfort food, you know. For me, comfort food is, I love sweets. So any kind of cookies or, honestly, Taco Bell, that's a comfort food for me. When I just want to feel good, I go for, like, chocolate chip cookies or Taco Bell, right? So there's that kind of comfort. There's just general comfort, you know, a comfy couch, you know, your comfy chair, your spot in the bed, those things like that. And whether it's that kind of comfort, whether it's comfort food, comfort shows, you know, people will rewatch shows over and over and over. They have comfort movies. They'll rewatch certain movies. I certainly have comfort movies, comfort shows, comfort, all those things. But it's an idea of comfort, you know, getting to a place where you are relaxed, where you're safe, you're calm. You are able to do whatever you want and have that sense of normality, that sense of familiarity. And I think about comfortability a lot in the sense of where I am in life. I think I'm right now in a place between feeling comfortable and not feeling comfortable. But I think I'm more so in the sense that, again, we come back to this idea of looking at other careers. We come back to looking at where I am in my own career. And I feel like I'm getting comfortable in the sense that I'm finally gaining financial stability. And I think that's informing a different kind of, you know, I felt comfortable. Like, I've been getting comfortable, like, for the last year, ever since I've just been kind of in this state of financial instability for the last year or so. I've tried my best to to find comfort. And I kind of realized by doing that, I pushed away my creative side. You know, I've talked about that. But then my one creative island, my one thing that was keeping me on the boat was the audio drama, which I'm still working on. Update on the audio drama, sidebar, tangent. I think I have decided that I have the first batch of episodes written, and I have already started production on that. But again, life is not easy. It is hard. And it is hard to arrange schedules and production across miles and miles and towns and all these different things and between jobs. So I haven't been able, I don't think I've recorded with any, you know, my stuff has been done, but I got one session with one other person, and then it just, schedules just got too hectic. So I'm kind of trying to feel out, like, when's the best time with different people. And I'm also, in the meantime, starting to write more episodes that are in later installments, so that I can kind of do the first and second installments back to back, and just so I know, like, okay, well, when it's done, I have X amount of episodes that that's a good amount to have. But even that, you know, kind of gets into the idea of comfort. You know, I want to be comfortable financially. That is the thing that has always, since I've become a grown-ass man, that is the thing that worries me a lot. We live in a very uncertain world. Everything is so gosh dang expensive, it's not even funny. And that's what worries me. Like, I worry about money, and I worry about bills and rent, because, you know, that's what's keeping me out here, is being able to pay those things. I'm able to be down here and be a grown-ass man. And I worry that I almost sometimes worry, I focus too much on getting comfortable in that aspect, that my other sides have taken a hit in a way, because, like, I haven't written, you know, I got into a really good groove with writing again, and I felt the creative juices flowing. You know, I was bummed that production kind of just sputtered out on the audio drama, because I'm having to figure it all out pretty much on my own. And I thought that I found a good spot where I was, and I thought that I was in it. But then again, it was just, I was so worried, you know, even getting into a better place financially, I'm so worried ahead of time that when I only have the one job, that I'm like pre-planning, figuring things out in that regard, trying to figure out living situations, things like that. And it's like, I think my creative juices, and then just, you know, the time, my creative juices just kind of got sapped extra early. And so I haven't written in weeks. And I think a part of me, honestly, is trying to avoid it. I think, to be fair, I have been extremely busy. And it's why, for the second Not Just A Guy in a row, I've had to record in the car. It's just life. You know, life happens, and you have to roll with the punches. But I think that I have gotten comfortable, and comfortable in the sense, like, I think I've gotten comfortable with the excuses and comfortable with the current routine of my life that is kind of, in many ways, sort of dictated by my jobs and not dictated by me. That I've just gotten like, oh, well, all my free time will just be for my comfort, where I will read my comic books and I will watch movies and things like that, which you need those things. I definitely need those things. I love those things. But I think I'm letting my creative side suffer because I'm so just laser focused on, I'm like avoiding, because it's getting out of the comfort zone again. And I'm wondering, like, what is it that I need to remedy in myself to understand, like, I'm getting comfortable in the sense, like, I feel good spending money, like, you know, on fun things. I know I'm going to be able to make rent. I might be able to change my living situation. You know, I think we might be able to move on up a little bit, get more space. And I feel comfortable in that. I feel reassured by that. It's just the creative side. I have such big dreams and big ideas and lofty expectations of myself. And I just feel like my comfortability, like my comfort is pushing those away. And I'm trying to figure out how to get back to that, you know? Because I don't want to just keep being taught. I think I'm kind of tired of just being talk, talk, talk. Look, I can talk all day. I can talk at you. That's my whole thing. But I'm worried that at a point it's just going to be, you know, Gary is just talking about doing all these things. He's not actually going to do them. You know, that's a different level of comfort. That's what worries me. And you know what? To tie this into WrestleMania, WrestleMania 40 was just this last weekend. You look at someone like Cody Rhodes, who one of the all-time greats, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. You look at Cody Rhodes, lofty expectations. His obviously came from his name and his lineage. But he put his, you know, he grinded, he worked. When, you know, he was in a system that wasn't conducive to who he wanted to be, he left. He started a revolution, which led to the birth of All Elite Wrestling. He goes back reassured of who he is, and he finishes his story. He finishes his family story. He finishes his own story. He becomes the world champion. You know, he becomes WWE champion in the main event of WrestleMania. And I think about that, about how he, you know, he self-proclaimed went from undesirable to undeniable. And I think a lot about that. You know, he had the system. He had he had comfort when he was in WWE the first time. You know, he could have kept getting paid, could have kept being Stardust, but he didn't want to be comfortable. He wanted to go out there on the indies and reinvent himself and figure out what was missing, add tools to the toolbox, per se. And then he creates AEW, learns more things, you know, continues to push himself in different ways. And then he got comfortable there. So when his deal was up, he left. He went to WWE. He went back to WWE. I wouldn't even say necessarily that he got comfortable in AEW, but, you know, he could have stayed with that, you know, that sense of familiarity, having been with the company for, you know, for 3 years. And but he decided, no, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to see through this dream that I've had. I'm going to go back to WWE. I'm going to finish my story, and I'm going to use everything that I learned from my first time in WWE. I'm going to use everything I learned on the indies. I'm going to use everything I learned in AEW. And I'm going to learn everything I learned as a man, as a husband, as a father. I'm going to use all that, and I'm going to reapply it to this dream I have had of being the WWE champion and presenting this belt. Obviously, he'd wanted to present it to his father, Dusty Rhodes, who, you know, passed I can't remember the exact year, but it's been a good amount of time that Dusty has been gone. And, you know, he didn't get to do that, but he was able to present it to his mom. And I think of that, for me, that has been something that's resonated with me the entire time the story has been told, but especially recently, where I'm at right now, where I hold myself in high regard, not out of any level of like being conceited, but I think I have a lot to offer. But I'm getting to the point where I'm worried that I'm talking more about what I can offer than offering anything. And it's because it gets to that point where does comfort become complacent? You know, when does comfort become complacency? And I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, am I starting to get a little bit complacent in my creative side? You know, yes, I'm thinking about, like, I walk around at work and I'm thinking of ideas and I'm thinking about, like, oh, when I write this, I have to do this. Like, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, remember that for when I write. But I just keep kind of pushing off the writing. You know, I'm not carving out the time that I should be. And sure, I can say that I work anywhere from 30 to 40-ish hours a week, you know, but many people do that. My whole thing is just obviously it's split between two different locations, and they aren't particularly close to home either way. So I'm trying to figure that out. But I think for me, what I'm hoping to do in this episode is kind of like, let's figure out what I can do and what you can possibly do. Like, what we are struggling, especially when it comes to the commodity of time, when we feel like we have no time, what can we do to find a way to make time for our creative endeavors, especially when our creative endeavors are whatever our storytelling medium is, especially when that isn't what's paying the bills. It's one thing when that is what is your meal ticket, that when that is what's putting the roof over your head, putting the food on your table, supporting you and your family. It's another thing when it is not that. When the only thing that it comes down specifically to your passion, your drive, and something I think we take for granted, our energy. I think a lot of us run ourselves into the ground and we don't consider that. I've always been a big person who I always never got why people brag about, like, oh, man, I stayed up until 3 a.m. and I woke up at 6 and I was exhausted. Like, I'm working hard. Like, I've never gotten that mentality. So what can we do? For me, it's always being mindful of those creative endeavors. I always try to keep the plate spinning in some way. You know, I almost look at it like a tier list, okay? Tier one is making the thing, the actual production, you know, actually getting boots on the ground, you know, mic in front of my face, whatever it is, you know, getting the set, you know, being on the set, whatever that is, that's like the tier one. So like that is the culmination of work you've put in, and then you're actually there in the moment making the thing. And then post-production would be obviously lumped in there as well to release. Tier two is writing the damn thing, planning, like writing it, getting it written, getting it revised, things like that. That is tier two. Obviously, for me at the moment, tier one and tier two are very, very hard to get to at all. Just given what my schedule looks like, given what is going on in my life, just given like just everything. So tier three is keeping the plate spinning in some way. So for me, it's like I talked about, when I have free time, I like to be mindful of what's going on. I like to, you know, if I'm at work and I'm kind of just standing there, you know, if I'm at the front and I'm just standing there and there's not a ton to do, I try and think, okay, well, let's see. Let's continue to flesh out this idea I've had and just keep trying things in my head. Like, does it work if it's like this line? No. Does it work if this thing happens to this character? Like, what does that inform for later? Things like that. Trying to be mindful. And I think I've been spending a lot of time in tier three because I haven't been able to just to plop down at my desk and type. And right, I've had the ability to. But I think just mentally, just to kind of avoid burnout, I've avoided it. Another thing we can kind of do is try to look ahead and actually plan out, you know. They make these things called planners for a reason. We have reminder apps on our phone and calendar apps on our phone. Like, something I'm trying to be a lot more mindful, because I'm going to be having two jobs for about the next 7 weeks. And then after 7 weeks, I'll just be down to my one main job. And that will be what is supporting me, paying the bills, while I continue to seek out my creative endeavors and try and build my career in film and storytelling. So I'm trying to approach it as like, okay, every day, you know, or Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, I always know I'm going to be waking up, going to the gym, waking up at 6:30, trying to be at the gym by 7, trying to be done by like 8:10. That's just always how it pretty much shakes out, so that I can get ready for a shift at 10. And I'm trying to think like, okay, well, you know, usually on a good day, I usually work double shifts about 2 to 3 times a week. That's how it's shaken out. Usually there's a good 2 to 3 days I'm off, off of my job that I get more hours at. And I found that, you know, I usually can get home, eat, and then start, you know, it's setting a time, you know, making almost like a schedule for yourself. You know, I know somebody who, I think he still has the same schedule. I don't know how much he shifted. Whoa, this is the first time. Sorry, I got distracted. This is the first time I've ever seen a car that is the exact same make and model as mine. I have a car that's a little bit of a special car, and that is the first time I've ever seen that. Wow, that kind of tripped me out for a second. That was crazy. That's the first time I've ever seen that. Wow. I won't tell you what it was, but that, wow, cool. Anyways, I know somebody who, and I don't know if he still does this. I know he was doing it just because he was teaching classes and shooting stuff and, like, you know, working on his podcast, things like that. But, and you know, he goes for runs and things like that. That's his form of working out. And so he would wake up at like 5 a.m. or so just to write, you know, write for an hour before everything in the day. You know, but before working, you know, getting that run in, before going, you know, whatever work was for the day, that was what he was doing. And I think, like, if you can make that work, I don't know if I can, because I can't wake up at 5 o'clock at the moment. One of my older jobs, I used to wake up at 4. Like, 3 days a week, I would wake up at 4 a.m. just to get to work. I could do it back then because that was my only thing. But right now, it's a little harder to be able to even think about waking up at 5. I wake up at 6:30. I think that's early enough. But because I also work late nights, things like that occasionally. But, like, that's kind of a perfect example of what you can do, is you can wake up an hour earlier or you can go to sleep an hour later. Like, you just have to find the time. For me, I'm starting to figure out, okay, well, these are the set days when I know I can write in the afternoon. And if I have a day where I have a double shift, or, you know, double shift days are probably going to be the days where I don't get any writing done. And I've just realized that. I've come to terms with that. I've accepted that. But, you know, if I have a weekend shift where I don't go until 4, you know, even though I like to think, like, oh, well, the weekends, I should just be relaxing as much as I can. Yeah, but that's also that's perfect time to just, rather than just kind of sitting on the couch doing nothing, sit on the couch with the laptop out, you know, and get some writing in. Or, you know, choosing, like, what works best for my schedule. And figuring out, like, moments like that. Like, a Saturday would be perfect, you know. I'm going into work at, like, 4. A Saturday would be a perfect time to start writing a little early. Or get one. Just, and this is another thing. I was watching someone shared an interview with Akira Kurosawa. And it was him talking about just writing 2 to 3 pages a day. You might not, I think it was something along the lines of, he was saying that so many people worry about writing, like, 100 pages, or maybe it was 1,000, I can't remember off the top of my head. So many people worry about, like, writing all those pages, like, almost like at once, you know. They worry about, like, oh, I gotta do that in, like, a day, 2 days, a week, or something like that. And what he was saying was, well, look, if you look at it like, you know, I've written so many scripts, or I've worked on so many scripts, and it stacks up, you know, like, that's thousands of pages, right? Well, what if every day you just wrote 2 to 3 pages? And after a while, if you did that for 1 year, think about it. There's 365 days in a year. Now, let's say even if you didn't write every single day, write 2 pages, or even a page. Let's say you wrote 5 days a week. Let's say you did it, right? 52 weeks in a year. That's going to be a good amount of pages written, you know? And I really took that to heart when I saw that. I was like, I'm only setting these hard, arbitrary, requirements on myself. Like, you have to sit down, you have to write 10 pages. Because when I do that for long enough, I get burnt out on it and I don't want to do it. So then recently I changed it to, like, well, what if it's like, write at least 2 scenes. So my new thing is going to be a scene. Every time I sit down, I'm going to try and write a scene. If I want to do more, I can do more. If I have the time for more, I'll do more. But my goal now is sit down and write a scene. And if you get 2-3 pages in and you just don't have the full thing yet, walk away, focus on something else, come back to it tomorrow with a fresh, you know, with a little bit, go get completely removed from it and come back later. So, like, that's another thing I'm thinking about. I don't ever want to get comfortable in almost anything I do. I'm pretty sure that that's probably a sentiment shared by many. I love comfort. Comfort is, it's nice and it feels good for a reason. But comfort should never come at the expense of challenging yourself, of pushing yourself, you know? I think about it this way. I love working out. I've been working out seriously, quote unquote, for, like, let's say since, like, 2016. You know, I was doing it, like, I was, like, working out in my garage with, like, the dumbbells that we had, and then weight class from, like, 2013 to 2015, you know, thinking I knew what I was doing. Even 2016, I didn't know what I was doing. I haven't known what I was, I would say, like, in the last 5 years is probably when I started to learn what the hell I was doing. Even now, I think I know what I'm doing. I probably don't. I mean, I do all right for myself. But I never want to be comfortable in the gym. Because at a point when you get, you know, when you kind of lose sight of whatever your goal is, my goal is always hypertrophy. You know, I'm not an athlete, so I don't necessarily need to worry. I'm not an athlete. I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm not a powerlifter. I don't need to worry about specific things like that. I just want to be big. I just want to look big, brother. That's all I care about. I train for aesthetics, and I know I do. And sometimes, you know, I do gain things that transfer into other parts of my life, make things easier to lift up. But I always have that goal. And so I never try to get stagnant. I never go just to go. I always go with, this is another opportunity to better myself and put in work that will not immediately pay off, but will build. And I'm, even as I'm saying this, I'm like, why have I not structured any of my creative efforts in that same way? Why is it not like, if I'm lifting 125 on my incline press and I can only get 5, I'm not, and like, I'm struggling, like I'm going to die. I'm going to drop this on myself and die. I'm not like pushing myself like, bro, you gotta get 8. Like, I wouldn't do that because I would die. Why am I forcing myself to write 10 pages if I don't have 10 pages in me that day? That's why I'm thinking about, why am I not structuring it that way? Because like I said, I go in and I never have the intention of phoning it in. I never have the intention of, I tell myself, I'm going to try and do one better than last time, get one more rep in, get in it, add 5 more pounds, something like that. Hold it at the bottom for 2 more seconds, then, you know, sit in that stretch a little bit longer. And why not carry that mentality to creative efforts? Because when you ultimately think about it, it's the same. It's the same foundation. You're putting in work. It's not going to immediately pay off. You're not going to immediately, you know, that script isn't going to immediately shoot you to stardom the second you finish it. Finishing this workout is not going to instantly make you look like Macho Man Randy Savage as much as I wish it would. It just, you're putting in the work. You are building the foundation. You're doing everything so that when combined with eating right, getting protein, getting plenty of water and sleep, it all adds up. It's all one big package that lets you that continues to make you stronger, change your physique, make you feel better. That is why I never want to get comfortable, because I always want to be I always want to be focused on improving myself, improving my position, improving my storytelling abilities, improving who I am as a person, improving. I never want to stagnate. I never want to get complacent. I have done that in the past, and I think in many ways I'm still paying for doing that. I think I'm still affected by that. So this is a year which so far, you know, we're already almost at the end of this month, we'll be a quarter of the way done through the year, one quarter down. I fear that we already are a quarter of the year done. After this month, we'll be a third of the year done, I should say. We'll have one third of the year down. I want this to be a year where I make real changes in my physique, changes in my life. You know, I got engaged this year. I already have the life part checked off. Changes in my physique, that's ongoing. Besides getting engaged, which is still a crazy thing to think about, and my fiance edits this show, so I know she's going to be popping when she hears me mentioning that. She's going to start crying probably. I'm joking. I love you. This is a year where I have to make some changes in regards to my standing as a storyteller and a known figure in the realm of storytelling and film. This is a year of change, not a year of comfort. And I am taking that to heart, and I hope that is something you take to heart as well. That is going to do it for this edition of Not Just A Guy, once again coming at you from the Guy Mobile. Again, I am sorry if the audio is a little janky. I am working on a better car recording solution. If you would like to follow the show at NJAGPROD on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I'm still working on posting more on the TikTok. You can follow myself at Garrett Briones on Instagram. That is GarrettBrines, or Garrett S. Briones on Twitter, GarrettSBriones. Like the show, follow the show, let your friends know. If not, don't tell them anything, because I don't want you to dissuade them from listening on their own. Keep supporting. I love doing this show. I think we're building something fun here, and I just want to keep growing it. I want to keep bringing on more people. Hopefully guest episodes returning soon. Just, again, it's hard to schedule things. But I have been your host, not just a guy, the guy, Garrett Briones, and I will talk at you next time.
This has been a Not Just A Guy production.